I'm Dan Orlovsky. When I'm looking for safety, I always take the extra steps and listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who haven't scored since 1958, Chris and Case.
Hey, hidey-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. This is episode 263. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, The Riz. How you doing, Riz?
It is great to be with you, Chris. We are almost to Draftmas. I'm very happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got a lot going on. Today's show, we'll be taking your calls. Of course, throughout the whole show, we're taking your calls. There's a lot of questions. It's a big week, a lot of stuff going on. We're going to take a look at three quarterbacks that you haven't heard much about yet and give you some info on them. And Riz may try to slide a little extra in there like he always does. Always going deep. Bob Quinn. He leaked his draft board today, if you didn't see it. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about why it sucks to be Bob Quinn and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements first. Check it out. Help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from...
Guam!
That's right, my man. Guam. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian B. from iPrevailBand.com. He will be tuning in for the draft party, just so you know. He said he'll be there. You can join all the crew and get the best, most intelligent Lions chat on the internet as a side benefit by joining Patreon at patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. If you contribute as little as a dollar a month to the show, help keep us going, help keep the lights on, help keep the broadcast broadcasting. You'll get into that, the great, great chat with Riz, me, Case, a whole bunch of other awesome, awesome people, of which Jim Young is one of them. I have to give him a special shout out this week because he's been around since the beginning. He's a great guy. But go on over, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Sign up. Little is a dollar a month. We'll take more, like we always say. But you can get access to the Slat, pre-information about stuff we're doing, all kinds of stuff. It's a great way to go and help support the show. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, and on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast. It's the very best place to see the Riz.
With no pause.
Oh, my God. that might be the thumbnail. A true YouTube moment.
Traumatize the children there.
Subscribe on YouTube. See Riz's antics, we'll say, or horrific exhibitions. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Also, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, wherever you find us. We love that. Thank you for those reviews. We got some great reviews from the folks. Going to read one or two of them here and there. We're not going to do a big, like, hey, read the reviews kind of thing, but there was one that was really, really nice that we got that I wanted to just say thanks to the person who did it because it was a really, really cool review. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And there's a lot, Riz. There's actually a lot going on. And there's a couple things specifically we want to talk about. First, we have to talk about the live draft party. I feel like we haven't talked about it as much as we normally do. And it's like,
I agree. It's something that we need. Tell me what's happening this weekend, Chris. Tell me all about it.
You were a big setter when you played volleyball, weren't you? I was.
I had cherry hands, man.
Oh, well. We'll have to talk about that. Anyway, the live draft party on Thursday and on Friday. We will be out there. We'll be kicking it live. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be doing the live stream. We'll go all the picks with you. We'll break down from the Lions' perspective, from the other team's perspective. And it's a great way to just to hang out with a couple guys that you like. Have a couple of drinks. We tend to drink and have more drinks as the night goes on. It gets a little sillier. A little
more. It is you and Sandman, right? On Thursday?
On Thursday, it's Case and I. On Friday, it's me, possibly the Riz. I don't know if you've heard of him. And
possibly.
Sandman. So, yeah.
It's the Mobile crew all over again.
Yeah, it's Senior Bowl to the draft, right? The whole journey. So we'll be doing it both nights. Just so you know, it's like 7.5 hours of broadcasting, but we're here for you. We're here for you. We don't do commercials. So, Chuck, come in, hang out, have a good time. It'll be here on the YouTube. We also get in through the website. We love it when you guys join us. So, live draft party. We'll go live just as the draft broadcast starts. Look, there's a lot of streaming going on, especially for cord cutters these days. There's more and more people, and there's a whole bunch of different times that people are seeing it over probably about a 45 to 60 second period when the announcement happens for different people, depending on how they're getting the information. So tune in with us. We'll have one straight stream for you, and we'll keep it together and make sure you have a good time along the way. All right. We'll talk about that one more time before we go for the folks that show up later. All right. Let's do this. Let's talk about Bob Quinn. I don't know if you saw his video he did on ESPN today. Did you see that?
I did not. I missed it.
So his draft board leaked. And it's good because he only showed the back of it. He flipped it around before. But we know he's using a 3x5 board. Okay, so 3 foot by 5 foot. So we've got something going on now. Either we're small, fine tipped whiteboard markers, but our Intel machine is working full time.
Were there any like mirrors or glasses or anything that we can like Mission Impossible decode from?
Only on the ceiling. I'm terrible. He did have a couple more whiteboards that were clean behind him that he's using for just notes during the draft. It's interesting if they're going to show up, because you could see the tripods where the cameras and lighting were set up for probably draft picks or interviews or whatever during the time, because it's broadcast lighting, right? It's not just I'm talking on a Zoom call. So we'll see how that plays out and what that looks like. But those boards are going to be behind him, so I don't know if they have to work on their intel on that or what, but.
You know, he's not an idiot, and I'm sure that if he shows something, somebody who's one of the 10 to 15 people that's in his ear is going to be like, hey, Bob, check that.
Oh, man. Yes, for the chat, it is a quarantine beard. I don't know what to do with it. I can't even type that. I try to type back in the chat. I don't know. It is what it is. I've never had it this long before, so maybe I'll watch
it. ZZ Top style, baby. Go for it.
I've thought about it. I have. I thought about going to the big chops too, right? If I end up with that.
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole dirtbag biker look. I love that look. My wife is like horrified every time. She thinks it's a threat, like I'm teasing her. That's my retirement look, though, when I do eventually one day retire. Get a retirement and
divorce. You might be retiring single.
Retirement and divorce all in one thing. Hey, how about that?
There you go.
All right. Also, the one interesting thing that came out of that video and interview he did. Steve Lancaster's his name. It's his IT director for the Lions. He is going to be in a Winnebago in Bob Quinn's driveway for the entirety of the 3 days of the draft.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive that your guy's on site. It's smart, right?
So the reason why he is in the Winnebago and not in the house is because our state of Michigan is shut down, and if I tried to go to my neighbor's house right now, I'd get in trouble. There are people, by the way, who would bust us too. They're like, "Oh, you're not social distancing." That's a very big deal in Michigan right now, especially on the east side of the state where COVID is still rampant. So it's conforming to the request and mandate, edict, whatever you want to call it, from our governor here, and they're playing by the rules.
Yeah,
and, better safe than sorry.
When you're doing like a national broadcast, you kind of have to play by the rules, don't you?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a little more pressure. You can't sneak over for.
You know, we try to keep the politics out of everything as much as you can, and then the NFL does that too. So, if he was there, some people would raise a stink, like, "Oh, well, they're not social distancing. What's that guy doing there?" You know, he could have been exposed. So that's all. It's all out of the picture.
Yeah. And
that's probably the smart way to go.
Yeah.
Logistically, it seems like the picture that I get is like cousin Eddie, you know, sitting out in the Winnebago in the Griswold driveway, but like doing like FBI surveillance, you know, like
little things.
Yeah.
Around the,
yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I picture. I wonder if that's the case or not. I'm sure. So I do know an IT guy from another team who has been working with that team's coach and GM and other people And he said it's been crazy. And one of the assistant coaches who's required to be patched in lives out in the country and does not have anything but satellite internet.
Oof.
So they have been working on getting a feed to his house so he can actually do it. He does not live in a state that is quarantined. So, you know, there's probably some help there. But there's some very odd logistical things that you never would have thought of before that are coming out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. The one thing I've, since I moved to this location, got the gigabit fiber. That's the first. My son's almost done with the high school, so I can kind of live anywhere, go anywhere, work anywhere, what I feel like at that point, right? One of the things I've made the priority, it used to be schools, and school system was the number one thing I was looking for. Now it's what's the internet speed? Can I get fiber? And then I can draw priorities. A picture around those areas, and then I can buy there. So that's just the way it is, man. Really quick, yeah, the COVID thing is real. You know, I've seen some people talking about it, and you know, they don't know anybody. Jordan in the chat had someone who he said passed away. Sorry about that, Jordan. So he lost someone in his family. My parents had someone literally across the street from them who also passed away from it. And you know, they're in their late 70s. Down, you know.
Yeah. So from Lion's Land, Scott Bischoff lost his father-in-law to COVID.
Yep. Just on the show 2 weeks ago. Week and a half ago, yeah, and
yeah. So our prayers are up for Scott. I've been in contact with him since then. He's doing fine. His wife is doing okay.
Yeah,
I mean, it's rough though. It's real.
Yeah, yeah, and it always stinks. So stay with it. Try to stay. You know, listen to the rules. Do the best you can, and we just do what we can and go with it. All right. Let's see. We've got that. They've got IS. Oh, the one thing I did want to talk about. Quinn mentioned that he's going to have IS or IT. Sorry, we call it IS at my company because we're idiots. after 13 years, you kind of get it grained in.
Give us a program.
They're going to have IS support or IT support at 5 p.m. on draft night. Draft starts at 8, which is good. Doing this show, this is going to be our fourth annual live draft party show that we're doing this year. And if you wait to right before to start, something is always broken, right? Remember at the last show where we had your still photo, there was an update to Zoom that had changed a crazy setting deep that was unnamed and not, it was stupid. It took forever to find what the fix was. And it just updated that day and boom, it broke it. You can't have that happen. You got to be up running and then, you know, freeze your software and everything like a couple hours before and then, okay, let's go. And so they've got the thing in hand. They've got some smart people working on it. So that's
on. They have backed up redundancy too. I'm sure that Bob Quinn owns more than one laptop. If not, I'm sure the Lions have provided him with a backup that's ready to go just in case.
Three machines there, and I'm betting that he has cable and fiber, or cable and DSL, or I guarantee he has two physical internet connections. It's one of the things.
Yeah.
Like when you're doing data centers. I mean, I don't know that he's gone this far, but at data centers you'll have a physical connection coming in at the northwest corner and then another one down from the southeast corner in case of like there's some kind of terrorist attack or something that takes out part of the building. You still actually have connectivity. They think of all this kind of stuff, right? It's really, you think all kinds of
well weird, over crazy. My head, Chris.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts.
It's insane.
All right, so let's go. We got Quinn, we got the Lions. They seem to have this covered in the era of COVID. Hopefully everything holds up the way it is. It would be such a Lions thing if it didn't, though. But you know,
the league seems so. They did a dry run. The entire league did Monday, and other than people forgetting that they're on a conference call and forgetting to mute themselves, I understand it went fairly well.
Oh man, yeah.
The issues that you have with this. It's getting 32 teams. At least two people from every team, the head coach and GM, although in some cases they're one. Mm-hmm. The owner's probably in on it, I'm sure. With the Lions, I'm sure that Kyle O'Brien, Mr. Advisor Hare himself, will be in on it. He's the director of player personnel. I'm sure your director of collegiate scouting will be in on it.
Yep.
They will all be on one thing, on one of the screens in front of Quinn. The NFL is using the Microsoft program. I forget what that's called. It's like Microsoft Link or something like that.
MS Teams. Probably.
Yes, MS Teams. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Thank you. That's the official one that they are using to use the selections.
Yep.
And I know that they've done a dry run for that, and I know that it worked. So that's good.
Teams is generally pretty good. I found it's Skype for Business that is an absolute train wreck. But hey, you know, whatever.
You can talk to my wife about that because she has to use that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's not happy.
Yeah, yeah. We launched a 130 user system. The system launch was the first day that everybody worked from home. You'd want to talk about
nothing like thrown into the fire. Dude.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. All right, nobody cares about that. We're not here for work.
Yeah. No.
Really quick though,
football. Give me football.
Work can generate pain. And just like your lion skin sometimes, we feel your pain. And, you know, something I've personally found, and I found out through searching for my mother-in-law, and she's sick, she's old, right? has spinal stenosis, has a couple things going on that cause really, really severe pain to the point where she had to live with us for a couple months during football season last year. And she's tried all kinds of different pain management things, and she really wanted to try the CBD, which for her generation is obviously it's a kind of desperation move because they were the reefer madness generation, right? They saw that it was just terrifying. Don't go near it because all kinds of crazy things will happen, right? So I did some work. I checked out some and you know, it's legal in all 50 states. It's nothing that's going to get you high. It's nothing like that. It's truly made from everything but the stuff that gets you high. But I tested it out because she spent money on laser treatments and stuff that didn't work. They were quack stuff and she's fixed income, all that. So I was like, tell you what, I'll use my money and I'll try some different things out. If I find any kind of efficaciousness, then fine, right? And I went through and I did, and I found one, and they happened to do I happened to like it, and it worked really well for me. And I said okay, and I sent it to her, and she's having some relief with it. It's nothing, at least, and I did low dose stuff, right? I didn't go like way out there or anything, but it's, you know, the CBD, she's found some relief. I've found some, you know, insomnia helps and that kind of stuff. So we worked with this company, talked to them. Again, it's one of the things that we're absolutely certain. We only will talk about companies that we believe in or use ourselves. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They're saying that I said LSD on the, on the chat. If I had said that, that was a mistake. That was a complete mistake. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go to Diamond CBD. Lawrence Taylor has some brands there of his of CBD. You got Tommy Chong, one of the favorites of the 420 crew here, the day after 420. He's got some gummies and stuff he does. So if you're looking for that, and if it's something you think can help you out, whether it's insomnia, some pain, whatever, CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They give us a kickback if you buy their stuff. And hey, it may just help, as Jordan says, with being a Lions fan as well. All right. We'll move now to the draft. There's three quarterbacks that we haven't talked about. And in particular, Brandon, who's usually around, and I haven't seen him on today. He's been beating us up to say, okay, we know about Herbert. We know about Tua. You may have heard about Burrow, but we know enough then to know that we don't need to know because he's going to be gone. What about the other guys? What can their impact be for teams in the draft this year? And I said, you know something, Brandon, that's a great question. Let's talk about that a little bit. So if you don't mind, Riz, I'd like to kind of walk through a couple guys. I'm going to tell you about where I think they're going to go, right? And it's kind of specific because I have my own mock and whatever. But we'll see how it plays. The first one that I have of the range, I'll tell you who the three are, and then we'll walk through them. Jordan Love, Jacob Eason, and Jalen Hurts are the three guys. And I think they're going to go in that order. And I think we got Jordan Love from Utah State going to go about 23 in the first round, okay? Because you got a guy, you got a team, and you got a guy, and that's what they can get, okay? Is that okay to start there?
Yeah. So Jordan Love was at the Senior Bowl. He had an interesting career at Utah State. I saw him play live. I was at their game at Michigan State in 2018, where he was really good for three quarters and then completely threw the game away at the end. That's a recurring theme with Mr. Love. He chokes big time when he's under pressure.
Right.
So I got to look it up. Let me find my draft board. So I'm actually doing my final mock draft tonight. I'm at pick 27 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull up my big board so I can tell you exactly where I have him because I don't want to lie. I'm not a liar. But I am not high on him. So my comparison for him...
I know you're not. And that's why we didn't talk about him a whole lot, Riz. And I apologize to our people. We kind of just let him go because
he's terrible.
Yeah.
My comparison for him is DeShone Kizer, except DeShone Kizer was better in college. And I watched DeShone Kizer lead the Cleveland Browns to a 0-16 record. and lead the league in turnovers just in the red zone. He had more red zone turnovers than any other quarterback had turnovers, period, mm-hmm. that year. He's dreadful. He's awful. He couldn't back up. We saw him in Detroit. He played the final game when Aaron Rodgers tapped out because he was a wuss and didn't do anything. That's my comparison for him. So I'm scrolling way down here.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think? Got a question?
I am at.
Go ahead. Sorry.
He is number 99 for me overall.
Wow. See, I think that, and I've heard that.
You're right, though. He's going high. I would be surprised if he's not a first rounder. But not every first round quarterback is worth it.
Is a first round player. Right?
Yes. He is a first round value selection. He is not a first round talent.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word. Thank you. And that's the thing. Jordan Love and Bill Belichick, I think I've heard the Patriots really like him. I've heard that they think he's a thing. And I think there's a little bit, this kind of is where our guy Quinn gets his lack of, he doesn't care about value necessarily. He gets the guy that he wants, right? A reach is not a reach for him. If he's got a guy specifically that has talents that he wants, and that's the best player of need available or the best player available, he will just take him.
Yes. That's, he doesn't care.
And I think that Bill Belichick's in a position where as late in the draft as they're picking, they need to get the best quarterback available because, as we'll talk about later, they don't
keep in mind, they don't have a second round pick either in New England. So if they want to do something, they got to do it like there, and they got to find an asset if they want to move up from there, that it will come from the future.
Yes.
So that's something that they have not done in past years. They have been reluctant to trade away future firsts to get into it.
Darmesis in the chat says, if you're not high on Jordan Love, you need to try more CBD. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
By the way, Jordan Love did miss his bowl game because he had a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was trying the CBD.
Maybe he was. he needs to try the non-THC version.
Yes, yes. He did outplay Shea Patterson at the Senior Bowl.
That's a true statement. I cannot argue that.
So he wasn't the worst player.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Patterson was probably the worst. He was the worst quarterback there, wasn't he?
He was. He had some troubles out there. Sometimes he was sharp a couple of times, but for the most part, he wasn't.
He wasn't dreadful. I've seen really, really bad ones.
The year before, every quarterback.
Oh my God! Yes, that was rough.
And you couldn't evaluate. It was so bad you couldn't evaluate receivers well, because the ball wasn't there half the time.
Yeah, to go back in the Wayback Machine, the first or second Senior Bowl I went to, there was a kid named Nate Brown from Central Arkansas who was there. Hmm. And he was so bad that, like, receivers were, like pretending to tie their shoes so they would get out of line so he wouldn't be their quarterback when he was throwing them reps. Nobody was that bad this year. Thank goodness. That happened to Todd Reesing from Kansas at the first Shrine Game practices that I went to. Like, oh my God, this guy's an NFL quarterback. He's terrible. I don't know how he started in high school, let alone college.
Yeah.
So Patterson was better than that. By the way, Shea Patterson will get drafted this year. If somebody gives you a bet on that, take the bet that he's going to get drafted.
Really?
I don't think it will be Detroit, but I do expect him to get drafted.
That's interesting. All right. Let's talk a little bit also about
Jacob Eason, right?
Jacob Eason is the second guy. I got him down around like 60-ish. And there's some trades going on because I don't think Baltimore wants him. But Eason from Washington, second round around 60-ish, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, late second, very early third is the spot for Eason. He's an interesting guy. He looks the part. He's good looking, got the nice perfectly coiffed mustache, shoulder muscles, neck muscles, can throw the ball really, really well.
No, you're saying he's a lot like me.
Absolutely. there's some things to work with there. He's another guy that if you give him a clean pocket and a clear sight line to his receiver, he's going to drill it in there, and it's going to be beautiful. If he gets muddy, this is an issue with taller quarterbacks, and he is six. He's every bit of 6'6". He has a wide base, and when you have to step forward, if there's people around your feet, this is the Ryan Mallett issue. This was the Brock mm-hmm. Osweiler mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. If they can't fully step forward, they're screwed. And it really messes with his accuracy when he's got somebody around his feet or somebody coming up the middle.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a killer for him. He also
and that's big in the NFL right now, right?
Yes, I mean, it is.
Let's face it. We talk about how bad offensive lines are, but it's really conversely the athleticism of the defensive players. It's so high, and those edge rushers getting in there, they're always under pressure, and they have to be able to throw without perfect form.
Yeah, and especially with the bigger guys in specific, if you can't stop the interior pass rush, mm-hmm. that guy's worthless. Mm-hmm. So that's why a guy like Danny Shelton is very valuable for Detroit. He doesn't get a lot of sacks, but he does consistently reset the line of scrimmage backwards.
Yep.
That's going to be a valuable skill for, especially when they're playing a guy like Eason.
For sure. Okay. Number three, you come into a guy named Jalen Hurts. I met him around 80-ish, third round kind of a pick. Now, this is you're really in a developmental land at this part, right?
Yes, I like him. He's my number 52 overall player. I like what he offers. Mm-hmm. He does not have the strongest arm, but he did everything at Oklahoma that Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray did before him.
And do you think, I mean, my thinking is if you're taking a quarterback in the third round, you're looking for a good five-year plan on a backup. Right, a friendly contract for a career kind of backup player, and
maybe you get the Kirk Cousins lottery ticket and you want to becoming an above average starter.
Right,
that's the hope.
Yep,
you don't expect that, but you hope that.
Yes,
and Hurts, I like him, man. There's a lot to like with him. He can make anticipatory throws. He can throw on the run a little bit. He doesn't have the greatest accuracy. His arm strength and accuracy do diminish if he has to throw down the field more. But he can handle a muddied pocket. He can move a little bit. He's got incredible character. Yeah. He is small. And I think that was one of my takeaways in meeting him at the Senior Bowl and watching him and just seeing him physically next to each other. Both he and Shea Patterson are really like small dudes, not just short, but they're like small frame. They're not muscular guys.
Yeah, I was really hit me about Shea because he was such a running quarterback. That he was so small in frame, right? Because I feel like, boy, a guy like that he is just going to get destroyed in the NFL if he tries to play the way he did.
And Hurts has some of that to him, too. He's not a physically thick guy. He's built like a point guard. He's not your shooting guard or power forward.
He doesn't have the girth that you would expect a player of that.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Not that kind of person.
All right. Hey, the phone lines are open if you want to give us a call. 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Give us a call. We'll take your call live. We'll talk to you. I got a couple questions coming in the chat. We'll hit those as well. But, Riz, I know there was a fourth guy.
Yes.
That you
There's a guy that about. I like. There's a guy that I like, and I would love for the Lions to take him on day three, and that's Anthony Morgan from Florida International. Dude is a very unrefined Brett Favre clone.
Interesting.
It's James Morgan. James Morgan.
Okay.
There is game tape of him making throws that Favre would be like, dude, yeah, nice.
Really?
And there are game film throws of him missing wide open receivers a la Josh Allen. And if you can ever find the balance between the two of them, you've got a really exciting guy. He can run. He can throw on the run. He's tough. He's a just balls-out leader. And I'm a sucker for guys like that. I love the fact that he wanted to compete. He's a really interesting character, and I project him to go in probably the fourth or fifth round. I would love to see if the Lions are going to make an investment in a backup quarterback, a developmental guy. I would like him because he can make the throws that Stafford can make. And he does bring some mobility. He's mentally tough. He took a ton of big hits in college and kept right back up. He's one of those guys like, oh, hit me harder. Come on. I know you got.
He's going to invest in Copper Fit now.
yes, exactly. So he's a guy. I like him quite a bit. He is my, where is he? He is number 106 overall for me. So he's right there with Love. Dollars to donuts, I'd take him over Love because I think that, enough about Love.
You got no love.
And to preemptively answer, Brian Lewerke is not going to get drafted. I know somebody's going to ask it.
Really?
He's not getting drafted.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so those are the unsung quarterbacks in this draft we haven't talked about. Don't see him really making a big difference. That the Bill Belichick pick, because he just doesn't love his quarterback right now. I just don't think he does. And it does.
Jarrett Stidham was one of those guys that we saw in the 19 Senior Bowl.
Yeah. I don't see Belichick as a tank the team type to get, you know, next year to grab for Lawrence, right? I just don't see it happening.
The whole tanking concept, that's you can't do it. Miami just tried.
And
they want to pick in fifth.
Yeah, that's really something.
So. They tried their hardest. I mean, their leading rusher was their quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They don't have an offensive lineman on that team who should play in the league. They don't have a starting cornerback. They traded their best defensive player to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They should have lost all their games, and they didn't have a roster that was anywhere close to as good as Detroit's. You know what? They won more games than Detroit did. Forget the whole trying to tank thing. It's bunk.
All right. We got a caller right now. Let's hit this caller real quick. Hey, caller, how you doing? How much have you had to drink in your quarantine?
Do Slurpees count?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Caffeine works good. Too.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm really enjoying you guys' show, first-time caller. So I just want to bring some points up because you guys talk so optimistically that it scares me. I have so much faith in just about everything Quinn is doing. He's not perfect, but he's had more hits than misses.
Yeah.
But it's just too much faith put into this coach of ours. Mm-hmm. His unwillingness to make changes and do it my way of a highway system that's ran us to the ground, ran players away. So let's say we get the perfect player. We're top three. We don't change out. We're stuck with this player. He's a generational talent, Simmons or whoever. How are you guys? Are you guys confident enough that Patricia can get the scheme around this player, let's say we get Chase Young, but we know he doesn't fit this type of scheme, but we pick him because he's the best player available. If he doesn't fit, is it going to be one of those, I'm going to force you to do it my way, and now that everything still looks bad? You understand where I'm going with this?
I do.
Yeah.
I'll say, okay, one of the things that really kind of lit me up on this was when we were talking to Wayne Fonts. And Wayne, he was known as a player's coach, like Caldwell was, right? He was a player's coach. And one of the things at the time when he was gone, they brought in Bobby Ross, who couldn't, they ground him out quick, right? To trade him in, what was it, a three quarters of a season? He went to the... to Bellevue.
That's not enough, and I want out.
Yeah, he went to Bellevue for a while. We broke the man. But the thing is Wayne Fonts, one of the biggest player coaches we've ever had, and I'd say even more so than Caldwell, said when you got a guy that doesn't fit and isn't working in the locker room, you got to get rid of him.
I.e. Barry Sanders, yes.
Yep. Barry worked. Barry was great. Barry was great. But he had players that he wouldn't name the guys.
He wouldn't name them. We talked off the air and we figured out who one of them was pretty quickly.
Yeah. But a guy, the players loved him. They went. You didn't have social media then, so it was a little bit different how the world worked, right? It's a lot of that stuff happened more quietly. But if Wayne Fonts, the guy who's the softest, cuddliest Lions coach ever, right, and such a favorite of the players is of that mindset, then I got to go with my coach. The other thing is we've been talking about the culture in Detroit being bad for about 48 years, and we finally got someone here who's gonna change it. I'm willing to give him the run to go for this, to really clean this out and have at it, and then see what happens. If it doesn't work, we still have had that cultural change, and that's actually growth, and that's something significant for this team. I think that's important, because guys that tolerate losing or that are used to it, or it's just who we are and there's no coming back, that's got to go, right? So that's what I think is some of the actually positives that he brings. I think we see how it plays out with Coach Patricia. I think he has a lot of potential.
Now,
I think Bill Belichick was terrible early. But I think if they just Cleveland would have stuck with him, they would have liked him. Go ahead.
Give me 30 seconds just to review some of that, okay?
Sure.
I understand where you're going. So from Wayne Fonts' era, we went into that losing schematics of Bobby Ross and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's where the losing culture just took it to his peak. Then we brought in a player named Schwartz, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz.
Who revitalized and said, okay. So he gave us an identity until he went crazy happy on Harbaugh. Then, so we actually had an identity. We actually was on the cusp of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, we said, well, we don't want crazy anymore, but we do have a defensive identity. We brought in Caldwell, who kind of was the player's coach, who actually maintained and stabilized things. He brought in another type of culture, which still maintained the winning. He started to win more than Schwartz and kept us at the playoff berth. So we said, for some reason, 7-9 wasn't good enough, going all the way back to Schwartz, who brought us up to that. So we still had a semi-winning culture. Now we had a shock change, a total shock change in bringing in. We said, we're not going to do this player's mentality, because back in sports day, we kind of went through the whole, all these players are drugs, and we're only bringing in guys with character issues. Or we're not bringing in guys with character issues. So now Patricia is here. I don't hear anything, not too much talk about character play, but the winning culture that we kind of was used to, oh, hey, at least we're close to the playoffs. We just want to get over the hump. We just totally tanked because he doesn't want to. It's one thing not to be a player's coach, but it's another thing to try to fit everybody into what you're trying to do and totally dismantle two generations of winning. Now, even average winning.
Yep. Okay. So now I'm going to rebuke a little bit here too. The Lions, okay. just to talk about the character issues right now, even for the first time from even when Caldwell was coach, they lead or are close to leading the league in the fewest suspensions, arrests, and other off-field issues, as well as being one of the most charitable organizations out there. Does that win football games? No, but that's important to the organization, right? So unfortunately, as a fan, that's one piece of how the organization has to run. And if you're going to blame management for it, that's, I think, the one angle you have to grab and say that's where management's problem is they want too much character. And that's kind of hard to stand up and say that, especially in today's times. But okay, fine. The other part is Jim Caldwell, after he was gone, coached for a year and then he was gone sick. So all the idea that if we kept Caldwell, he still wouldn't be coaching. He would not be coaching the team because he had health issues that prevented him from being able to coach. So it's like we didn't wait for that older cornerback to lose a step. We traded him a year before he lost a step, got something out of him, and we got what was arguably the best GM prospect in the league at the time. Right. Who then used
and I still have faith in him.
And took a coach who, for all intents and purposes, had all the makeup of a high quality coach. You're not going to be able to go and hire away Andy Reid. Right. It just doesn't happen. It's just like you don't go hire good GMs. You don't steal them away from other teams. You got to kind of find those guys. Right. So I think we've done everything right. I just think we also have to go through the experience now of when you do it right, sometimes you get a guy that doesn't work. We have to get to find out if he doesn't work. Last year is a terrible year to base any of this on because of all the injuries to the team. Everyone says, and they'll still say it today, if Stafford goes down, this team is done, right? So we were all right. We were all right. The team was done when Stafford went down last year. It's really, really hard to take the data that we got last year and say, hey, yeah, this is what we need to evaluate the coach on. So I'll stop. I know Riz has been biting his, or I've been talking over him. Either way, let me unleash Riz a little bit.
I would just say to go back to the point of why should we have confidence that Patricia can get the kind of players and do with them what we want them to do and turn it into a winning unit. You're still doing that on faith because he hasn't shown you that yet. I think it was better last year than it was the first year. I think when we go back after the entire thing is done, Matt Patricia is going to look back at his first year in Detroit and be like, what the hell did I do? Because he did so many things wrong, and it alienated so many people. You not to get into the whole Quandre Diggs thing and Glover Quinn. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get along with Glover Quinn, if you don't want Glover Quinn on your football team because he's a bad influence and going counter to what you're trying to do, you're a rotten coach. That guy's a saint. GQ is one of the guys that you want to be on your team.
Yep.
So Patricia didn't understand that right away, is unfortunately still bleeding onto the team today. I've seen it personally firsthand. I've been in Allen Park. I've seen them practice during the regular season. I saw them in training camp. I saw them in Mobile. He's a different dude now. He absolutely is. And the players and his own coaches treat him differently as such. But erasing that stain is going to be really, really hard for him to do.
And I'll tell you one.
It'll come from this year. I'll tell you the guy to watch. Watch Jamie Collins. Because Jamie Collins and him did not get along in New England. And Jamie Collins went on to Cleveland and was really good until he got in a losing situation. And when he saw that that situation was over, he flat out quit on that Browns team. He stopped playing. If that happens...
So, Riz, what's your benchmark for him this season?
That's... I do think...
Successful season for Patricia for you?
For me, they got to double their win total. At least.
Okay. So six. Get six games. Okay.
Yeah. And based on the talent that they've got now going into the draft, I'd be impressed if they got the six wins, quite honestly.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to a new coaching search, unless he can impose his will and it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the next coaching search will also be a new GM search.
Yeah.
And pray that they're not one in the same guy.
Like that's the hard part. I like Quinn. He does everything just pretty much fundamentally right. He keeps things, the payroll things. He's getting the coaches, the players, the coaches need to say they want. The coaches just aren't. Patricia just isn't making it work.
Yeah,
and we'll see. We will see this year. This year's going to be. And here's the problem. Okay, and this is the hardest part now with the whole COVID thing and the effect on games this year. It could have this, you know, you can say, okay, well, Matthew Stafford was down. It had an obviously detrimental effect on the team. I'm not saying this is going to happen. Okay. So please don't demonetize me, YouTube. But the Spanish flu back in 1918, it originated in Kansas. American troops took it overseas, spread it to everybody. Boom, 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 boom. They come back, you know, people got sick and whatever. And it was a bad flu, but it was done. So summer comes, it goes away like flus do. The thing was the second wave in the fall, it had mutated and become much, much deadlier and much, much worse. We don't know what's going to happen actually this fall. We don't know if this has that same kind of thing, if it'll mutate. Nice stuff, Riz. You don't know what the end result's going to be there. This could be another type of lost season, which would be hell for Lions fans. And I'm going to tell you, from the other side, it would be hell for Matt Patricia as well, because he hasn't had the chance to prove himself, you know? And you're looking at, what are you looking at? You're looking at aging your franchise quarterback. You're looking at all kinds of horrible things happening to teams, players. The draft next year is going to be a mess. If there's no college ball, how do you even assess? What do you got? 18-month-old tape on guys, you know, and they haven't played. What are you even looking at? What happens to the league at that point? There's so many variables right now. I think what you're going to see is a whole boatload of teams just stand pat after this year and stick with what they got. Keep evaluating it, kind of call it a little bit of a lost year, compete at their very, very best, and go hard on evaluations and numbers, and then start making decisions when things start getting leveled out again. Because, like, even if you fire him, you have to move somebody, and there's a whole thing about relocating somebody, right? Trying to do that now in the middle of this, it'd be insane. It would be absolutely insane to try to move somebody's house, right? And you would want them to move if they were going to start for your team. So I'm just telling you right now, it's so up in the air. This is the team's guy, and I've been around the Lions long enough. You know, I remember when we drafted Billy Sims and we were going to win the Super Bowl, and what was it, Spider-Man Jones doing another one bites of dust, right? I've been getting beat up.
That's before he got hurt, right?
I've been getting beat up by this team for a long time, and it's not that I don't want to win, but I'm patient enough to see things play out the right way, because I've seen us take things that looked pretty nice and lose out early. And I just want us to give this a good, fresh chance. This is the best chance I think we've had, even above Caldwell. This is the best chance we've had in a long time to get to that next level team. If it doesn't work, you know, I'm fine being wrong. But
they're committed to trying to make it work as best as they can. Yeah. But this offseason is going to be tough, because there's not going to be OTAs. Just being real, there's not going to be training camp, or it's going to look a lot different than what we're used to.
Yep.
And that's
and we lost our lost our clog in the middle, so we're gonna see.
We'll see.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot for calling, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. We'll see you. God, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk really quick. Amazon and Fanatics. Those are two great places. You can shop on. You guys, here's the secret. If you can't find toilet paper, Amazon has it. You just got to check there every now and then. I just got 96 rolls coming on Thursday. You just find it there, and boom, it shows up. Yeah. Well, you don't know if you're going to show it up when it's going to show up. It's just like the kind you get at Costco, right? You just buy it and then you got it, right? But there you go. It's and not just that, just anything you're looking for, you can use your Amazon, which is amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. Yes, Amazon is on the internet now.
Yes, so what I get today. I got a new. I just got a new phone. I got a new phone case for it today Amazon.
Nice.
Came today.
Amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. Also, Fanatics for all your Lions gear, Michigan gear, hockey gear, whatever you're into, you want to get, go to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Both of those are partners with us, and if you use those addresses to get there instead of just the standard address, they give us a little kickback. It helps us. And you can help us by doing something you were going to do anyway. Again, fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com for all your sports wearables and collectibles needs, and amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com for all your other purchasing needs other than CBD. All right, okay, moving on. Why it sucks to be Bob Quinn. I should have done why it sucks to be Matt Patricia, but I think we covered that.
We really do want it to work for Coach. We do.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He was such a great guy at Senior Bowl.
He really was. We enjoyed the time with him. Just watch him hang out with the Hooters girls. Honestly, that's not a situation that you would normally expect. Like him,
right?
He was totally in his element. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was. Really,
it wasn't
neat
creepy
seeing
cool.
Him.
Like it wasn't like he no. was like doing shots.
No.
Off
their ear, right. Yeah. No. I wanted to. I didn't get a chance, unfortunately. But like everybody who was like on Radio Row coming by, he was like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, people seem to like him. That wasn't the case when he got here, and I just wish that first year could go away because he did it so wrong.
Two reasons for me. You're right. Everything he did wrong, and the start that he got to the year with the that story that broke about. Again, now we're what 3 years since then? Since that story broke. And
I'd forgotten about that.
It hasn't moved anything forward at all. There was no new information. It didn't advance the story, and nothing's happened. Nothing else came of it. It was a hit piece, period.
Yes, it was.
And that is crap journalism. That sabotaged him from the from the day he stepped in the building, effectively. And I still am angry about that, and really, really despise that kind of journalism. And I'm glad Lions Wire doesn't embark on that kind of bullshit.
We
that
do
was
not.
Trash journalism. That was a character assassination. And
I'll tell you a little bit behind the scenes. Eric and I went to our boss and our boss's boss and said, we don't want to cover this in any way. And we were told that we had to dance around it, but just like write straight facts. And that was it. But that's not something that Eric Schlitter and I are comfortable doing. We don't like that. That's not what we're here for.
Yeah. That wasn't fair to anybody involved.
There are some that are. I had a really good conversation with another Lions beat writer. I won't say which one it was, but he's like, the person who did do that probably should have been fired and should not have credentials to the Lions. Yeah. And the fact that the Lions didn't do that is a source of frustration for some people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. So anyway, I didn't want to get off on that, but that one.
No, that's, yeah.
Why does it suck to be Bob Quinn? Because in this draft, there is nothing that you can do right.
Oh, come on.
No.
If he gets Chase Young, people are going to throw a parade in front of the RV in front of his house.
No. He should have traded down and gotten more picks because Chase Young will not turn this team around. We need more players. And Chase Young's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But we need more players that can start to fill all the gaps on this team. I'm channeling, right? So you don't get Chase Young. You trade down. Oh my God, he's a dude.
You
he's
traded away a generational talent. What is wrong with you? He's at the biggest position of need. He's the best prospect there in a long time, and you don't take him.
Wait, you traded to number five and wound up with Jeffrey Okuda, and you didn't take Isaiah Simmons? What in the world? Right? There is not
The Isaiah Simmons truthers. They're going to have a rough week.
and I'm going to tell you, they're going to be the world's version of you, Kellen Moore truthers to you. This is going to be.
Oh my God, no! Oh no!
This is going to be a difficult time. There's a bunch of people that are. I get it. Simmons is really interesting and amazing, but anyway. There's nothing he can do right. By the time you can really evaluate his pick, he'll have already been excoriated, right? He'll have already been beaten up through.
Ooh, good word.
Whenever we see him. Well, thank you very much. It's a situation where there's no consensus on who the Lions should pick. Even the idea of trading back, everyone's just like, just trade back and get more picks. It doesn't work that way. Somebody's got to want to trade. Everybody wants to trade back. Like, if the whole first round could trade back, they would do that and take other picks to do it. It's not that easy. So
let me ask you this. What do you think would be the move that he could make that would get the least negative resistance from the professionally negative Detroit fan base?
Chase Young.
Okay.
And
it's not going to happen.
No. I don't
he's going to be gone.
I think Chase Young will be gone. I think the chances of Chase Young being there are, I would call it 20%. And that's, I think it might be a little high, but I'd say it's around 20% because Washington's going to want a whole heck of a lot to trade out of there. And I don't think anyone wants Tua enough to, or Herbert enough to trade the treasure that it's going to take to get there. Now, he's gone. Do the Lions trade back? Does anybody make an offer? Even then, you don't know that anyone's going to make an offer at that point. If you're the Dolphins, you think
their phone will ring.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be anything that's wildly appealing. I don't think from when we talked to Quinn on Friday in the conference call, I don't think he wants to go back any farther than he can still get either Okuda or Derek Brown. And that's probably 7 at the very bottom.
Yep.
Because I do think 5 is going to be Justin Herbert. 6 will be Simmons or maybe Tua. Maybe Okuda, and then 7 is going to be Brown or Okuda, one or the other, whichever one is there. I think that's Carolina's pick.
Yeah.
You go to 8, you're too far back to control your own destiny on who you get. And if their draft board looks like most of us think it does, where they have 3 players at the top, they have Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, Derek Brown. They're all in the same line. If they can't get any of those guys, the trade back ain't going to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think he doesn't go further than 5. I just think he doesn't want to go further than 5. And is Miami going to have enough treasure to trade up? The thing is you need a GM to get excited enough about that quarterback. And that's what you're relying on in order to trade back, is the other GM to be a little bit crazy. And, you know, you look at this week of crazy talk, smoke screens, rumors, lies.
I mean, Gronk came out of retirement today and got traded, so anything can happen. But good Lord, that's it's unreal. Like, so there's a lot of talk about Atlanta wanting to move up from 16, and I happen to think that the other team that I covered, the Cleveland Browns, are a very logical candidate at number 10.
Right.
Because Atlanta is coming up to either get C.J. Henderson or a wide receiver, and they got to get in front of the Jets and the Raiders, who are going to take either C.J. Henderson or a wide receiver at 11 and 12.
Sure.
For Atlanta to get from 16 to 3, how does that happen?
No.
They're not giving up a first, a second, a third this year, and a first and a second next year, and that's effectively what it would take.
Yep.
They're not going to do that.
I don't see it. All right, we got a caller. Caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink?
Oh, man, come on. You know who this is.
Oh, my God. He's absolutely tanked, Riz. Get your head on.
Tank is on time, baby. Here we go.
How you doing, Brandon? Good to hear from you, man.
Chris, I got to compliment you on your beard. You look very good with it, man.
Thank you.
Got that nice, frosty, grayish look, like you're really... You know, a seasoned veteran.
Oh, I have been seasoned.
You could probably be strolling. You could be strolling up and down the sidelines, you know, with a clipboard, you know, yelling at D-line guys.
Oh, man.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Call the Lions and tell them that.
You're so You're so opposite Jeff in that baby face. It doesn't even look like he's out of fifth grade yet. You know.
That is true. This thing does age me. Case was saying he likes the beard. I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like it makes me like look really, really old, right? And he's like, no older than normal. I'm like, oh. All right. Other than insults, what do you got for us, buddy?
Well, listen, you guys was talking a little bit about that history. The old Patricia and I first came on with that hip piece, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody remembers, because I do, because I was watching it. Dave Burkett interviewed Stephen Ross down there in Miami, looking for a quote about anything, and he was asking him about the case.
Yeah.
And Stephen Ross blurted out, he said, well, from what I understand, we've talked to the woman, and she said there was nothing to it. Never heard about that.
Interesting.
Nothing. Nowhere. And that is in print, I think, because I know it was tweeted. I don't know if in, you know, some years back, you'd have to really look for it. But, you know, and it's just funny that just never gets talked about at all. So that's probably why it's never been talked about since. But it certainly wasn't highlighted enough. But that's not here. And, you know, that isn't really what I was going to bring up. You just happened to touch on it, and I just want to bring that up.
Oh, that's what the beard's all about. I'll touch all kinds of bad things, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jeff, I'm asking questions where you probably didn't see it, or you just didn't get to it, or it just really was moot. But I had a good question with Eric dealing with this draft value chart, and I didn't even realize that thing has just gotten to be really outdated. I mean, mm-hmm. Now, from what I understand, with the new CBA that has come in with the rookie wage scale, it has completely changed the value of all those picks, because look at all the trades that now are going on in the top 10, even the number one, if they really want to. It's because the real matter is how much are they worth because you're paying them so much. Before, when you're handing out $50 million dollar contracts to, I had an old fart right here. Not Stafford, but the next guy after him.
Bradford.
Bradford, handing him that, nobody's going to touch that kind of contract. So it made it worth so outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
But now, so Eric found a draft value chart that is at the top 1,000 points, and then it goes down in increments of even a tenth. And I thought to myself, well, man, according to this draft value chart, all the best the Lions could get was maybe pick 70 out of Miami, and it's still valued more than it's worth. So I thought if they could even get that would be a plus in their repertoire when they get into the second day, and they would have at least four picks if they just get one out of them, even if it's third round, you know, and still give them ammunition. But isn't that about what you think, dealing with that now, that how GMs are kind of looking at that? It's more it's obviously the price of the contract they got to pay out, even though the Jets seem to go by the old draft value chart when they went up and got Darnold. What do you think?
Yeah, it's more of like a guideline than a hard, fast rule. And it depends on how motivated the team is to come up, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets were very motivated to get up, so they gave up probably a little bit more than what they needed to. If you're looking at the trade value chart, there's four of them out there. We have one at Lions Wire, which is on all the wire sites, which is based off of the Jimmy Johnson chart, but it's been updated. There's another one that does it starts at 250 and goes down, and like number like. One is 250, two is like 242.5 or something like that. It goes down like that.
Yeah.
On almost every chart, Miami would give up five and at most a second rounder to get up to three in chart value. It doesn't mean that that's what they're going to do in hypothetical situations.
And I think that's a key point, right? And let me make an analogy here. You're buying a car. You know the Kelley Blue Book value. Right, you're buying this used car. You know this. The blue book says this car. This is the chart tells you it's worth this much. But how desperate are you for that kind of car? right? How in exactly. your area, what's the market for that car? And then in the other side, what are they willing, you know, how, what's their riches? Are they willing to take less because they have so much more? And then you have the whole idea of one shyster out, you know, out negotiating yeah. someone else. So it gives you a baseline. And then when you throw like actual trade players in there, right, it messes up a little bit. Because like for position to position on the draft by based on contract value, that's one thing. But then there's talent value, the idea that, let me just go to the question that came up in the chat that goes with this. Does Miami even need to trade?
No, really? They don't.
Really, yeah. they don't. They really, really don't. But they may think they do. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what happens to people right. in these
Do they want to make sure that Jacksonville doesn't pair 9-20 and move off?
Exactly. Are they afraid of the Chargers moving up, right? Moving up and getting the guy that they want? You can say Herbert and Tua are the same. And most people have one or the other they prefer. But maybe they absolutely prefer one over the other because they saw something they absolutely don't like and they can't risk getting the guy they don't like. Right. It's in their head, right? So do they need to trade? Yeah. Probably not. Could they? Oh, absolutely. They absolutely could. It depends how shrewd they are in this whole game, and that's what makes it so fun and interesting.
Personal sales, if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's right.
Yeah, I tell you what, and also you think, I don't know how much of a relationship Bob Quinn had with the coach of the Dolphins now, but they come from the same thinking, and they might actually make a better deal between the two of them than he could with whoever is with Telesco over there with the Chargers, because he didn't know him, and as well as others. But when it really boils down to is, are the guys willing to stand pat and take the chance and risk that they lose out, as opposed to, look, we've got the capital, let's just get it done. Because remember, that's what Dan Orlovsky was saying. You got the capital, just do it. You know, don't be messing around thinking and be cheap, because then if you screw this up, oh man, you know that'd be something fierce.
You draft Sam Bradford. You have Sam Bradford for 4 years. That's where you are, right? That's what you've done, and that's where you are. Period. You have to do this right, especially at the top. If you're trading, you better get the guy you want, because it's probably the last time you're going to have a shot at getting a quarterback.
That's true with the Lions too. They're picking number 3 this year. If they're picking 3 next year, it ain't going to be Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia making those picks.
Nope.
Yeah, that's really a given. I mean, you think about it. Everybody's, you know, I know there's a whole lot of cynics out there that, these guys are going to be gone. Well, they won't be gone if they have a good season. The other problem is, what if they have a short season and they actually have an above 500 record and get in the playoffs because they changed the playoff system? I don't know if you guys remember this. Back in 82, when they had the shortened season because of the strike, it was just a 9-game season. And they had teams, I think it was an 18, let me think. No, maybe
there was a team that got in at 3-5-1.
Half the league. Yeah, it was half the league. And the Lions got in the playoffs with a 4-5 record. They unfortunately lost the first round, but hey, they got there, and that's what they would say. They got in the playoffs, you know. So, you know, this thing has really changed a lot of things. Did you see happen to see the little tweet that was from a gal, and I can't remember her name, that lined out what she had heard just today, and everybody was commenting on it. I don't know if you guys heard. I don't know if you guys heard that or not, do you?
No.
Okay. It was that the Lions got the fifth pick, and they took an offensive tackle at number 3, and the Chargers wound up taking Tua, and Herbert wound up, or was it Herbert? Anyway, it looked like Herbert wound up being there on the 18th pick. I thought, oh my goodness.
So just in general, I stopped paying attention to anything that involved player movement or interest last Thursday. I take the last week off. I don't pay attention to a single thing that I've heard this week. It's all noise.
It's been that way for as long as I've been following it for years. Same thing.
The most accurate
remember when Stafford was coming out.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember when Stafford was coming out, there was all kinds of talk like, well, we don't know if we're going to get him. You know, he's a junior. We don't think he can really handle it being in the league, let alone start, and blah, blah, blah. And then you turn around, and the day before the draft, they made a deal with him, already had him signed, sealed.
Yeah. The most accurate final mock draft I ever did was the one that I did a year when I wrote it 2 weeks ahead of time and didn't touch it.
I'm getting destroyed in the chat, guys. They're telling me I went gray. It's my face that went gray. My head's okay. It's my face. I got to shave this, damn it.
Are you sure you aren't Ash Thompson?
No one's got pipes like him. Yeah, he's got the voice.
Yeah, he does. Man.
I did want to let you know. Listen, I've got to hand it, and I all the love and all the respect for the healthcare workers and everything they do, and especially the guys who have to wear them stinking blue gloves, because I did. Because man, when you got to go to the bathroom. Holy mackerel, that is rough. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you try it.
Yeah. See you later, guys. Thanks, Brandon. Take care of yourself.
Have a good one, man. All right. Brandon online. Okay, yeah.
My favorite mailman.
I'm just getting destroyed in the chat. I got to shave this thing. Huh. Everything will be fine.
Probably a good thing that my screen went blank and I can't see the chat.
All right. Don't forget our live draft party. Wanted to punch that really quick one more time. Yes. We will be doing a
live. I'm looking forward to doing it this year. Because I've always been out.
Yeah.
Normally we have a draft party with 96.1 here in Grand Rapids. I'm missing out on that. I've been at it every year since 2015. 2014 was the last and only year since 2009 that I've been home for the first round of the draft. And it'll be fun. It'll be all right. But it's a busy work night for me, unfortunately. But, I'm going to try to pop my head in as much as I can, especially after the Browns get done with their thing. They're trading out of 10. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know where they're going, but they're not picking at 10. So a little bit of tension in my night there. I don't think that the Lions are making a trade, but it'll be fun. I love seeing the reaction. That's actually one of the things that I'm looking forward to with you guys is normally I'm like out in public and there's, you know, 50 to 250 people there. And I know right away the pulse. And
right.
And I'm going to miss that juice, man. I'm going to miss, you know.
Don't worry. We have plenty of people that call in and react and do a lot of different stuff.
You know, last year we were at Folling Warehouse in Grand Rapids and you're throwing footballs at bowling pins. There was a lot of angry throwing after the T.J. Hockenson pick.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so we're doing it. Go to Detroit Lions Podcast, or you can see it here on the YouTube, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, or on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. We'll start right around the start of the draft broadcast on both Thursday and Friday. If you want to join us Thursday, let me know, Riss. We got you penciled for Friday. Case and I on Thursday. It looks. I know you like the later rounds. I know that's where you really thrive.
Saturday's my favorite day of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Every year, and I tell my family that. I'm like, don't bug me on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's my day.
So it'll be Case and I on Thursday. We've got Sandman, myself, and likely Riz on Friday.
Yeah.
And we'll cover the first three rounds of the draft through those. And we'll talk Lions. We'll have some special guests like we usually do. We may just pick up the roll through the Rolodex and call a couple of people, see what they say. I've got some numbers we haven't had, a couple of people we haven't talked to yet that I might just fire off and burn because they're not responding to texts. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll go with it. And have
we need
some
to get that. That's bullshit, guy.
He's there.
The bullshit.
He's always
love there. That guy.
He's always there. So join us this Thursday for the live draft party. Join us. We'll take your calls. We'll have the guests. We'll walk through the whole thing, give you our breakdown on the draft. It's a great way to have fun. We've been doing it now. This is like the fourth year we've been doing it. It's about time the NFL caught up, don't you think?
They should call you for a consultancy fee.
Yeah, man, the Lions. I'm telling you guys need some tech help. All right, so we'll keep going.
You could totally live in a Winnebago outside Bob Quinn's house.
I could. I could. That would be. Outside Bob Quinn's house, that adds a different dimension. I'm not even going to go there. I'm a nice guy. We got some fun stuff also. I mean, you can test it out now if you want, if you become a Patreon while we're broadcasting, or do a donation on the site to the, what's it called, to the to the PayPal. That's it. Ugh. And also, if you do Super Chat, which is that little dollar sign at the bottom of the chat box, if you hit that and donate something, really? There's little pop-ups that happen.
That's pretty, what that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. It's a great way to support the show, right, like we talk about, but it's a... we've got little things that interacts on the show. You can sometimes send messages. You can have different things show up. So that's pretty cool. And we'll do it. Tony, I can't guarantee I would, if I hacked the system, that we would get a good pick. So I don't think I'm going to try to hack the Lions system this year. all right. Let's talk about news breaking today. It's local for me.
We hinted at it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Gronkowski, you may know the name. Passed his physical, he's done. Like, it all broke in just like bam, 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 bam. Really fast news. Gronkowski's playing for the Bucks with Tom Brady.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Tampa just got to be a pretty hip place to hang out. I mean, Tom's in the local parks getting almost arrested for working out. He's living in Derek Jeter's house, who used to give women gift baskets on the way out after they spent the night with him. I mean, he's renowned in the area. I mean,
that is like the most epic true story.
Yep, that's insane.
So the trade.
It's not even a gated community. If you guys come down, I'll take you by Tom Brady's house. You can stand in the front yard if you don't get caught by security. But there's nothing. You can just walk right up on the sidewalk in front of the house and stand in front of his house. It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's cool. So the trade, I got it in front of me here. The Buccaneers receive Rob Gronkowski and a 7th round pick this year for a 4th round pick this year. The Patriots get a 4th rounder. In return for Gronk, who comes out of retirement, comes out of WWE, where he apparently holds some mythical belt, and is apparently healthy enough to play. So
really,
he rejoins Tom Brady.
Is it the WWE 24/7? That's what's sticking out in my head.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't watched wrestling since the Iron Sheik was doing things, and George Animal Steel was eating turnbuckles. That's the extent of my
turnbuckles.
So a quick aside on that. So. I used to work at a high-end hotel in Cleveland, and when the wrestling tour came to Cleveland, those guys all stayed. And I knew who all these guys were. So George,
this guy needs a, and I'm going to find him and just give him a big
the big Russian dude. I don't remember his name. But anyways, they walk up to the desk and they're all like speaking perfect English, like yeah, we have a reservation. They gave their real names. they just totally took all the mystique away from it for me. Like George the Animal Steel sitting out in the lobby, and he's got like a derby on, smoking a cigar. He's like eyeballing the women walking by, like reading New York Times or something. I'm like, no, it's ruined. The illusion is dead.
While you were talking, John Murphy came through. That's one thing I've got to work on. You can't hear it when it comes through. He became a Patreon level donor, and you could hear Dean Blandino doing his the bleeped out one.
Yes,
comes up, says his name. Thank you, John, very much. That was really cool. Appreciate the Patreon.
That's great.
He also made me aware that where you call that the Sam Martin Patreon level, because it's the number $6 donation.
Oh.
And I probably ought to rename that.
Who else was number 6 for the Lions? That's I don't even know. We'll have to go back in the Wayback Machine for that. So what came out of this, though, was that Adam Schefter broke out the details of the Gronk trade to Detroit. And you might remember this. This was from the 2018 draft.
Yep.
And the Lions and the Patriots agreed to the trade. It was done. But Gronk said, I'm not playing without Tom Brady. I will quit football before I leave the Patriots. And it was not directed at Detroit. It was totally, I'm a Patriot, or I'm with Brady, or I'm not playing. It didn't matter if it was Detroit. Could have been Kansas City. Could have been anywhere.
Obviously, right? I mean, he came to freaking Tampa.
Right. Yes.
Entertainment hub of the United States.
That's
right?
Going to be interesting. Hey, it's a nice place. I'd be there if I could. It's snowing here tonight. I'm under a freeze warning. Our wind chill's 24 degrees right now. So. I'm a little freaking envious that gators can crawl into your backyard.
Oh yeah. 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 This is...
Save that otter in your pond, buddy.
I saw a gator yesterday.
So Schefter broke out what the trade was.
Yes.
And so it was the Lions were going to get Gronk and the number 43 pick in the second round in 2018. And the Lions were going to send their first round pick, which was number 20, and a number 51, which was their second round pick. So that's a bullet dodge, because at that time, if you remember, Gronk probably wouldn't have passed a physical. He was in bad shape with his back. He had it was either a hip or a shoulder at that point too.
Yep.
Did not play well down that stretch. Obviously turned up big when they needed it, but so the Lions with 20 took Frank Ragnow. Really, really good player. I think we're all happy with Frank Ragnow. They wound up trading 43 for 51 anyways. 43 is Kerryon Johnson. 51, the Patriots wound up getting, and 117 they wound up getting, which is the Lions' fourth round pick. They wound up trading both of those, and the players that they used those picks on are not Patriots anymore, so they completely botched the deal. So the Lions really got the best of that deal in Gronk deciding to shut it down, and you know, Gronk smashed the trade. Thank you for doing that, Gronk. Good luck in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think he's going to turn into a little bit of a Larry McBumper fuck, but we'll see how he does. I'm not sure he's going to be.
I don't know, man. It's the whole concept. They remind me, not to digress on the Buccaneers too much. Doesn't this sound like the Lakers team that lost to the hardworking Pistons in 2004? Where they're like bringing all these talented guys at the end of their career in for one like last run, like, oh, it's going to be great, and then a good team totally smoked them.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, I can absolutely get that feel about Tampa Bay right now.
Great, great analogy. And look, I mean, the thing about Gronk, he slimmed down a lot after he got out of football.
Yes, he did.
Right, and that's a real risk for an athlete. They can go one of two ways. They can go the way that I went, or they can go the way Gronk went, right? And Spielman went, right? Because you shrink down. You lose a lot of muscle mass, but the appetite doesn't go away. You got to do something about that, right?
If you're not eating five chickens a day, you're going to lose your mass.
Yeah, exactly. So he did a great job, but it takes a long time to build that muscle mass back and to get back to size. So I'm interested to see what happens. That rest for his body, and the not having to carry that extra bulk around of all that muscle is I'm certain great for him, but yeah. Boy, it's going to be interesting to see how he gets into playing shape from freaking April.
And when you try to bulk up like that, bulk up big like that, you're at a lot of risk for soft tissue and tendon and ligament damage. That's yep. There's some risk involved there. Don't crown them just yet.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. All right. So Gronk to the Bucks. Now let me ask you, what's some of the domino effect here? Are we looking at O.J. Howard to the Lions?
I'd love that. So O.J. Howard is
Jesse James.
Oh my God, Jesse James. I went off.
Hawk and Howard, the 2H club, man. Right? I mean, can you imagine?
I think I was on the radio the other day. I might have been on a podcast, so where I went off on Jesse James. I felt kind of bad because I essentially crapped on his lunchbox or something, but that's O.J. Howard's so much better than him. And anything that gets Jesse James off the field makes me happy because he's a detriment right now. And if they can somehow get O.J. Howard in, yes, I'm all for it.
So what's the cost on that? Howard has 1 year left on his rookie deal if they pull the option on him.
Right.
Jesse James, how much do we eat on him? Do you know? I mean, just ballpark off. I'm asking you, obviously, a tough question.
It's a lot. It's more than they would be paying Howard.
But because he's on the deal.
Right. And because the Lions have $28 million and change roughly in salary cap room, they can do it. They can eat that if they want to.
And it gives you a lot. Like I was talking about KJ Hill in the last show, right? I love him. You know, I love this guy in the slot. I think this guy's got hips and can get low. He can move and cut fast and is really can get that separation that you need from a slot back. But you get OJ, you get the 2H club, Hockenson and Howard, right? And you get them, again, what they can do in the short to mid passing game forces the other team's coverage to change. And you'll see guys like Galladay, who's a great receiver, but doesn't get a whole lot of separation. And Jones, who just doesn't get a lot of separation, but is a great contested catch receiver as well. All of a sudden, you may find some separation because the number one guy isn't, or the number two guy isn't on one of those.
What is a way to mitigate not having depth at wide receiver? Have better tight ends. San Francisco did that brilliantly last year.
And then it opens up.
Baltimore has done that. The Ravens have done that for years.
Yep.
Their wide receivers, Your yep. tight ends, yeah.
Yep. It does. It helps you in both ends of the field from the longer pass and on the running game.
It tends to keep an extra linebacker in the game.
Yep.
It's a way that you can chip and release. And O.J. Howard, he's probably overrated by most people, myself included, but he's really good at chipping at an edge rusher and getting out into a pattern.
Yep.
That's something that Jesse James is terrible at. Hawkinson's okay at it. He needs some work, but he can do it.
I think Howard's just been misused. I think
that helps you be more comfortable putting Hal Vitae, who does not handle speed well at all, keep him at right tackle.
You mean Haluapati? Oh, I can't say it now. Darn it. I was going to be so fucking proud of myself because I had it nailed.
Haluapua Vadi Vitae.
I haven't said it in like 3 weeks, and now I gotta okay.
So who's CB3? Amani?
Aruwariye, yeah.
Close enough. I drink through that.
Oh, God. What is this? I'm going to be right. You guys are going to love the draft show. That alone.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I mean, I've only had what? I'm on my third truly here. Haluapulavati.
Yeah.
Haluapulavati Vitae. There we go. I just have to think. Okay. Play that funky music. Vitae.
Haluapulavati
Vitae. Yeah. All right.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about? Can we talk about real quick? Yannick Ngakoue.
Is this a test again?
Yes. This is a test.
Go ahead.
That's because it's a popular thing, and I threw it out there on Twitter, and people have taken to devouring it, and that's great. You're not giving up number three to get Yannick Ngakoue. He is in the situation now that the Lions were in with Darius Slay. What did the Lions get for Darius Slay? That's what you're giving Jacksonville for the right to pay Yannick Ngakoue $22 million a year. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get that. Mm. I don't know if that math works for me. He's a very good player. He's a one-dimensional player. He's not the biggest physical guy. He doesn't necessarily fit the Lions' benchmarks for what they want as an edge rusher. And that's – so I don't think it's going to happen. I'd like it. He's an exciting player. I would like it that they would want him to fit, mm-hmm. but I don't think that they do.
If they don't sign Howard – all right. Yeah.
Trading for Leonard Fournette, that's a legit thing though. And you can get him for a fourth or a fifth round pick. And I hope that the Lions are in on that action. He's a selfish malcontent. His teammates don't like him, but dude ran for 1,100 yards last year and also caught 76 passes. I can live with that stink for a year.
Yeah.
Fifth round pick.
Yeah. And he's the kind of guy that if you get a team to turn around, which is where we're at, right?
Yes.
And they know their lives right. aren't, they're not necessarily long for these jobs. It's a year, maybe 2 years that they're in these roles, Bob and Matt, because, you know, we're best friends.
Yeah.
Your
buds.
I'm living in a Winnebago on his drive. Don't you remember? That's the kind of deal they might make. They might put up with that stink. And if it does turn and they do turn the corner with this team and suddenly take it somewhere, I think you'll see a player like that will fall into line. It's much like the Patriots mold. That's how they could take a Randy Moss kind of player. He's my favorite example, who's got all kinds of character issues and problems and whatever else. Bring him in. He zipped the lip, did his job, and they won like crazy.
Corey Dillon is a very good example of that, too. A guy who wanted out of Cincinnati, didn't like it. Since they didn't like him and he didn't like them, and he wound up being a really good player for New England when they needed a that type of running back specifically, because they were not doing the committee back then.
Yep.
He was exactly what they needed.
Yep.
And LeGarrette Blount was that choice 2 years ago here. Didn't exactly work out, but they rolled the dice.
His first year was better than a second.
The 2.8 yards per carry. Oh.
Those were an important 2.8 that he got. All right.
Dude, 6'3", fall forward. Dumbass.
Pad level. He's working on his pad level. All right. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Don't forget, use the subreddit to give us your feedback. We appreciate it when you do that. It's the community show. So when the community feeds back, we listen to you. We took what was going to be a shorty, turned it into an hour and 25 minutes of pretty good content. Riz, I'm pretty impressed.
My wife is used to me making things longer than they need to be.
Oh, see, that's just like you made the quarterback list longer. No matter what it is, Riz has got the length. Okay. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. The big thanks again to John for his adding that Patreon to here. It's patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. You get access to the Slack chat right after the broadcast is over when you do that, so you'll be good to go. Also, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram is Detroit Lions Podcast, and on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, the very best way to see Riz.
With no pants.
Nice. Oh, I got to do that thumbnail. I remember that now. All right. Also, call us on Skype. It's Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or use the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Give us a ring, and we will take your stuff going. Also, be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast so we can pop up in your ear holes automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs. No problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.